So we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, and I think this will be very profitable. Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Amen. Praise God. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Everybody said repentance. Faith towards God. Everybody said faith. Faith towards God. The doctrine of baptisms. Notice the word baptism is plural. The doctrine of baptisms. Amen. And then he talked about some other things, and we'll be talking about those here in days to come. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help here tonight as we dissect the Word of God, see what the Lord will speak to us about. Father, we lean on you right now. We give you thanks tonight, God, for these that are assembled here to worship you, to give you thanks and praise. We ask you, Lord, to open the Word of God. Let it be revelatory. Let it speak. Help us tonight. We need your strength and your help. We ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And John the Baptist came as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the one who prepared the way for Jesus Christ. And some of you remember we talked about that a few weeks ago or a few services ago. And the message that John the Baptist preached was, somebody help me, repent. All right. And we talked about repentance and what it means to repent and to turn away from sin. If you were not here for that lesson, I have the notes for you if you'd like to look at the notes. And we have it on tape as well, or on CD as well. And it will help you to come to the place of this baptisms, and especially the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John came along in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, and I'm just going to write these up here, and if you'd like the notes, I'll be happy to give you the notes. Matthew chapter 13, and I believe that's the one, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, verse 11 and 12. And this is speaking of John the Baptist. And here's John the Baptist speaking, and he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And so that was his ministry, was to bring people to a place of repentance. Repentance is the very first place we've got to come to if we're going to touch God. How many of us need a touch from God tonight? Amen. I need a touch from God. I need a powerful touch from God, and I need Him every day. And so this is one thing that we must keep in our attitude, and that is a constant attitude of repentance. Amen. I need God more than I need anything else in all of the world. And it is a turning away. He said, I baptize you unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I really felt like taking a little bit of time on that verse of Scripture, because a lot of things in the Bible we don't understand altogether just in casual reading, because we don't have the same customs, we don't have the same way of doing things here in America. And so in our modern age, those kind of things just leave us here, and we don't understand what he's talking about. He said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about that, and he's going to baptize you with fire. Amen. That's like Zechariah said. He said, it's like fire shut up in my bones, and that's what it is. Amen. It's like a fire on the inside. And he said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. What he was talking about was the harvest. Amen. What he was talking about was the harvest. And what we have in the Old Testament, or even, well, not in our modern generation today, when I was in Israel, I saw a field on the side of the city of Jerusalem, and a man was plowing the field with an ox. And this was in the 80s, and I didn't think they still did those things over there, but there are still some primitive ways. But I think this has passed by the wayside. Here we have flat land, and then we have a little bit of a hill. And what we have on the top of that hill, or on the top of a high place where there is a lot of wind, and where wind is blowing, they have set up a purging floor. Amen. This is called a purging floor. And what they would do is, let's say it's wheat, they would take the wheat and they would cut it with a sharp scythe, and they would bundle it into sheaves. That's the dream that Joseph had when his sheaves stood up and his brother's sheaves bowed down to his sheave. It was a gathering together of wheat and tying it together, and then they would pick it up and carry it to the purging floor. And when they took it to the purging floor, there was an ox, and the ox would walk in a circle. And he would tread out the wheat, he would tread out the corn, whatever it was that they were harvesting. In modern days today, they have combines, but in a combine, they have a threshing floor. It's a very similar thing. It's a big round cylinder, and it's got heavy-duty metal things on it, and it spins at a high rate of speed. And it draws in the corn or the wheat, and it just beats it to a pulp. And it separates the seed from the chaff, or from that which is just dumped out the back. Well, in the days of the scriptures here, they would go to a place where there was wind. The ox would tread it out, and when they got a certain amount up there and it was piled up too high, then it came to the purging. Amen. And when the wind would be blowing, they would take the grain and the chaff together, and they would take a pitchfork and they would throw it up into the air. And when they would throw it up into the air, the chaff is obviously lighter than the wheat, and so the chaff would come over here and it would fall down, and there would be a pile of chaff over here. But they would throw it up and the wheat would fall back down. And that's how they would purge it. That's how they purge the wheat from the chaff. The wheat represents the righteous. It represents the people that are saved. The chaff is the wicked. Amen. The Bible says that the wicked are as the chaff that the wind blows away, and there will be no place found for them. And so when the Holy Ghost comes, the Holy Ghost is the wind. Amen. When the wind blows into our life, the wind blows in, and there will be a separation that takes place. It is a separation from those things that are in our life that are not pleasing to God, things that we may know about or may not even know about, but it is the blowing of the Spirit of God, the wind, if you please, that blows in our life by the power and the Spirit of God, and it blows those things away from our life. Amen. I don't want to end up over here in this pile. How about you? Amen. I don't want to end up in that place. All right, let's look at it a little bit further. Let's look in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 5. John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, and this is Nicodemus who came to the Lord, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Everybody said flesh is flesh. You can't spiritualize your flesh. You'll never be able to do it. When you're born in this flesh, you're going to be living in this flesh until the last day that you take your breath. Amen. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Everybody said the Spirit is spirit. All right, so we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And then he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wants to, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone, and another translation says, it is this way with everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so we understand then that the Spirit of God is likened unto the wind. And I'll just use this as an example here. And the wind is blowing, and there's movement here on the threshing floor. There's preaching. There is the ministry of the Word in our lives, and things are getting all stirred up. We're stabbing it with a pitchfork and throwing it up in the air, and there's all kinds of movement, and there's noise, and there's groans, and there's all sorts of activity that's taking place. None of it would really be any good unless we had the blowing of the wind. Amen. His fan is in his hand. I don't know if it was a box fan or if it's one of them. I got a feeling it's one of them big old round fans that they use. And it makes your hair go back like this. And his fan is in his hand. Wherever he's at, he's got a fan. And it's blowing. It's blowing in your life. The Spirit of God is blowing in your life. If you were to go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, Acts 2 and verse 1, here's where they actually receive the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Amen. And so there was the blowing of the wind that signified or represented the movement of the Spirit of God in a person's life. Amen. Folks, we've got to have a move of God in our personal life. I can't make it without the Holy Ghost in my life. I can't make it. And it's been a lot of years since I received the Holy Ghost, since 1974. But I'm telling you, I need the Holy Ghost. I realize now I need the Holy Ghost more than I realized it back then. Amen. The day of the Lord is coming very soon, and we've got to be ready when He comes. And we can't have all this chaff in our lives. We can't have all of these things that are not pleasing to God. We have to allow the work of the Spirit, amen, to come into our lives. Now, how do we know that the Spirit of God is moving in our lives? And this is really the evidence that the Bible talks about. If you go back to John chapter 3, he said, it is like the wind. It blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound of the wind. Everybody said sound. You hear the sound of the wind. Amen. We could ask ourselves the question tonight, does the wind ever blow silently? Have you ever been in a wind where there's no noise? Amen. I don't think so. Because wind has a particular characteristic to it. It is the movement of air. And if the wind is blowing this way and it strikes something, its desire is to go through it, but if it can't go through it, it strikes it. And when it strikes it, there's a vibration that occurs. And that vibration is known as sound. Amen. And so every time the wind blows, there is a sound. Amen. There is a noise that takes place. Actually, if you look in the original Greek, that word sound there actually means voice. when we're younger and it's a dark moonless night and there's lightning and it's thundering and the wind is blowing through the screen window and it's going whoo, we pull the covers up over our head and we pray, God, help me to see the morning. There's a monster trying to get into my room, and he's going to eat me. Amen. And we get scared about that. But it's not a monster. It's just the wind blowing through that screen window. And if you've ever heard the wind blowing through the trees, it's like the scripture that says, the trees shall clap their hands. And it sounds like the clapping of many hands. Because it's going through different things. And when it goes through different things, it makes different sounds. And Jesus said, it is this way with everyone. Everybody said everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. That means you, that means me, that means your family members, that means your friends, that means your enemies, that means everybody. Praise God. It is for everybody. When the Holy Ghost moves, when the Spirit of God moves, there will be a sound. Amen. And the sound, according to Acts chapter 2, there, when they receive the Holy Ghost, they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. There's the Holy Ghost and the fire. And it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And so this New Testament church was filled. Everyone was filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody said everyone. We're living in a time where there are many different strange doctrines that are going around. And the people say, well, it is to be interpreted. I would have to say that that's an error in the Scripture, because the Bible says it is this way with everyone that is born of the Spirit. I've got to be in the Spirit. I cannot make this journey in the flesh. I cannot pull myself up. I cannot have the inward strength to do this. And if I do, it's just going to be pride that eats me up. Amen. Because I'll be saying, I did this all on my own. But I can't do it on my own. I've got to have the Holy Ghost in my life. And you've got to have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And when we have the Holy Ghost, the wind begins to blow. Praise the Lord. And things will begin to happen in your life. I said things will begin to happen in your life. They really will. When you let the Spirit of God begin to move in your life, all of a sudden there'll be chaff that'll begin to leave you. Amen. All that old dirty chaff, all of those sins, all of those attitudes. Amen. It doesn't even have to be sin. The Bible says that we should shun the appearance of evil. And there are just some things that the Spirit of God speaks to us about. And the things that are in the Word of God, it's for all of us. But there are other things that the Spirit of God will speak to you about that are personal. Amen. That are not necessarily written out in the Word of God. My dear pastor, who has now gone on to be with the Lord, he was a basketball player, and he had a scholarship. They were going to pay for everything, going to give him a car, give him a place, give him food and everything if he would play basketball for the college. And he was on his way to going in that direction, and he came to church, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And the Lord began to speak to him. And the Lord said, I don't want you playing basketball anymore. Now, that's not written in the Bible, is it? The word basketball isn't even in the Bible. Amen. But there was a love that he had for that. There was something that was in his heart. He just loved it more than anything else. And the Lord wanted to know if he was willing to just do whatever he wanted to do. The wind began to blow in his life. And the chaff began to flutter and fall aside. Well, through much struggle and wrestling and whatever, he gave in to God. And then that's when the Lord called him to preach. Amen. And my, what a preacher he was. And what a man of God. And many, many miracles took place in his life. He could have gone on and had some sort of a famous thing with basketball, possibly, and could have made a name for himself there, but because he yielded to the moving of the Spirit of God, because he accepted God's will in his life and allowed the Spirit of God to begin to flow through his life and to begin to take out things that are not of God. And folks, every one of us have things that are not of God. Every one of us have things that we must deal with in our heart and our spirit. Amen. And it shouldn't be 10 years down the road after we start with the Lord, amen, that we still got all of this chaff and wheat mixed together. But he said he would what? He would thoroughly, thoroughly purge his floor. That means all this chaff over here is going to end up over here, and all you're going to have is pure wheat over here. Praise God. He's going to thoroughly purge it. He's going to keep on throwing it up and blowing and fanning it and causing all of that chaff and dust and dirt and everything that's not useful. Because all of those things that are chaff are going to be burned up. He said it's going to be burned with unquenchable fire. And I don't want those things hanging on to my life. I want the Spirit of God to touch me. Jesus said in one place, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will lead you into all truth. And it also says that he will have a ministry in our life. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. All right? I'm just abbreviating it here tonight for the sake of time. And these are areas of chaff in our lives. Some of these are areas of chaff. And when the Spirit of God begins to move in your life, he's going to reprove. The word reprove means to speak to you about, to look at you and say, listen, we've got to sit down and talk about this. Have you ever had your parents do that? We've got to sit down and talk about this. Well, the question tonight is, did you listen to them? Right. Now, don't get quiet on me here tonight. Did you listen to them? Well, I don't need to listen to them. I know everything. Well, you need the Holy Ghost. Right. Praise God. Because he's going to sit down with you and talk to you about things in your life. If God doesn't sit down and talk to you about things in your life, then you probably won't be saved. Amen. David said, Lord, I've got to hear from you. He said, for Lord, if I don't hear from you, I will be as those that go down into the pit. Amen. I've got to hear from God. But it's more than just hearing from God. I've got to be able to yield up the chaff in my life. And this is where the decisions are made right here. Amen. The ox that treads out the corn, he's up there on the hill, and the wind is blowing in his face, and it seems like to the ox he's just going in circles. Amen. He's just pounding the same pavement. He's just going in circles hour after hour after hour. And the Apostle Paul spoke of it because the law actually dealt with that ox. This is a little bit off of the subject here tonight. But the law actually dealt with that old ox. I'll just draw an ox here. There's an ox, and he's got some horns. Okay. All right. And he's walking around in a circle. He's just going around in a circle. And it gets tiring after a while. He's treading out the corn. He's treading out the wheat. And he's going in a circle. And the Bible says, do not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. That means let the ox eat as much of that corn as he wants to eat. Right. Don't hold back on that ox because he's going to faint and fall. And you're not going to have any wheat or corn if the ox fails or falls. Praise God. And so there was a law concerning that. And what Paul said was God concerned about oxen or was he concerned about us? He was concerned about us. It was a figure in the Old Testament of something in the New Testament. And what Paul said the ox was the ministry. Amen. Your pastor is the ox. And I'm not going to stand here this evening and complain and make it seem like we're just going in circles. But in a lot of ways, we just go in circles. How many of you have ever heard me teach on this lesson before? All right. See there, we're going in circles a little bit. And Sister Glenda, just because you heard it before, don't say, oh, we've been here before. We're just going in circles here because we need to preach these messages until Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. And so so the ox is treading out the corn. The word of God is being preached. What are we doing with the word of God in our lives? Are we just passing it off casually and saying, well, that doesn't apply to me. I know this and so, but you know, maybe, or my circumstances are different or whatever. What we've got to understand is that the Spirit of God is blowing. Amen. The preacher isn't God. Your pastor is not God. But I'm telling you tonight, God ordained that through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. There's going to be some noise. There's going to be some treading. There's going to be some stamping out. Amen. Some blowing of wind so that the chaff falls over here and the golden grain goes here. And then he said it's going to be put into the garner, which is the barn. Amen. Going to be put into the silo, the place of storage, the place where we can go and have plenty. Amen. We need plenty in the house of God. And I need plenty in my life. So I've got to listen to the preaching in my life. And I've got to heed the word of God. Amen. I've got to do what the word of God says. And so when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's much more than just speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. He's going to reprove the world of sin. He's going to talk to you about the chaff in your life. And then it says he is going to reprove the world of righteousness. Well, it's one thing to talk about sin. That's the negative thing. I never did want to sit down with my dad and have him to tell me some things that I wasn't doing right. How many enjoys that? I got my hand down. I don't enjoy that. And you know what? If that's all it was in living for God, was the things that we can't do, I'll tell you what, after a while, we wouldn't be too excited about that. If it was all, I can't do this, I can't do that, and I'm all tangled up and tied up here. But it's not just the sin in our life. He's going to speak to us about righteousness. And the word righteousness starts off with those first five letters, right. Everybody said right. Right. He's going to talk to us about what's wrong, but he's also going to talk to us about what's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. In other words, he is going to establish order in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know why we get into so much trouble is because of sin. When we're living in sin, we're out of order. We're not living according to the right order. Amen. If you make $100 a week in your paycheck and you spend $125 a week on this, that, and the other, on milkshakes and hamburgers, you might get a credit card and it might work for a little while, but it's not going to work for very long, is it? Amen. You know why? Because you're out of order. You're not in an order, a proper order where you can be blessed. Somebody could take that $100 and spend $75 and put the $25 away and save it. And after a while, they'll have a lot of money, be driving around in a nice car, and the other person is in debt and they're walking. Amen. Right. You say, well, they've got it better than me. No, they don't have it any better than you. They're just living by an order. Amen. Amen. And you're not living by an order. And so God wants to give us order in our lives. Praise the Lord. And so when the Spirit of God begins to move and we begin to speak in other tongues, it's not just an exciting moment, amen, that after a while it gets a little bit old and we get used to it and become accustomed to it. No, that's not what it is. It is the deep calling unto the deep, amen. It is the deep things of God calling to the soul of mankind. And saying, listen, you need to get some things right. Amen. It's not just a matter of what's not right. It is also a matter of what is right. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. There's nothing more frustrating than doing something wrong. Amen. Trying to fix your car and trying to stab the transmission in there. I don't know what we did before Google. I really don't. I had an old 57 Chevrolet, and it had a two-speed power glide, and it just shifted once. That was it. And I remember trying to stab that transmission into the back of the motor. My brother blew out two or three transmissions racing the car, and then finally I got the car, and I was working on it, trying to stab the transmission in there, and somebody said, oh, you need a stabbing, I don't know what they call it, but it was a little thing that was like the front of the transmission, and you stick it in there, and you get it lined up, and then you bolt it down, and the transmission just goes right in. And I beat on that thing with a hammer. I pushed on it. I worked on it. My arms were sore for a week. That's a heavy transmission. I didn't have a transmission jack or anything, and it was all by myself. And I'm laying underneath the transmission. It's laying on my chest, and it's like a weightlifter. And it just wouldn't work. And somebody said, oh, well, this is what you need to do. Oh, well, wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. Just do this little thing. Ploop, there it is, and you're done. There's nothing like doing it wrong, and there's nothing more exciting and better than doing it right.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You try to do some of these newer cars today and take out the timing belt and put a new one in. If you miss it by one little notch, you're going to start up the car, and it's going to be backfiring. It's not going to run right, and you're going to have to take the whole thing apart again and do it all over again because you didn't know the right way to do it. Well, you know what? There's a right way to live and a wrong way to live.
Right.
I know that's not popular today in our generation, but it is the absolute truth. There is a right way and a wrong way. Don't ever look at the preaching of righteousness in a negative way. Amen. Because it is good to know what is the right thing to do. There's a right way to treat people. There's a right way to talk. There's a right way to live. There's a right way to handle your finances. There's a right way to live for God. There's a right way for everything. Amen. And what we need, if you look in the book of Ecclesiastes and you look in the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom and understanding and said it's worth more than silver and gold. In its right hand are riches, and its left hand is all sorts of pleasures and things like that. Listen, you can have a happy, exciting life. You don't have to go to the bar to be excited. You don't have to get drunk to feel good. Amen. You don't have to smoke some marijuana to get high. Amen. Just go down to the airport and get in an airplane. You can get high, and you won't have any problems. And if that's not exciting enough, then just jump out of the airplane. That'll be exciting. Praise God. There's a lot of ways to have fun in life. Help me, Jesus. Amen. But really, there is a right way and a wrong way. And when the Spirit of God begins to blow in your life, all of the chaff begins to come off, and the right things begin to come out. And judgment, amen. He said that he will reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And what he's really telling us here is not only does the Spirit of God show us what is wrong and what is right, the Spirit of God shows us that we are the ones that are the winners.
Amen.
Amen. I like what I'm hearing in these days about winning. Amen. Oh, we've gotten away from this thing of winning, and everybody gets a trophy for participation. Amen. Oh, no, that's not the way it used to be. We either win or we lose. And you just took it in stride if you lost, and you learned a lesson by losing. But nowadays we've got cry rooms if somebody gets offended. Amen. Nowadays, you don't want to offend anybody or say anything politically incorrect, or you'd be accused of all sorts of terrible things. No, I'm telling you what, we just need to understand that we are winners. Amen. We are more than conquerors. Praise God. The prince of this world has been judged. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And I figure that we are more than conquerors because people in this world, worldly people, their idea of conquering is to conquer somebody else. That's why there's so much violence. That's why there's so much crime. I heard on the radio today that just a day or two ago, somebody was shot and killed in Wichita, and that was the 23rd homicide in 24 weeks. Amen. And there's crime everywhere. That's just Wichita, Kansas. In Chicago, 8 or 10 people every night are killed. And it's a terrible, terrible situation. And we're looking at that situation in our world. But he said, I'm going to show you what judgment is all about. Other people, they want to conquer other people, and that's why we have the crime that we have. But we are not conquerors of other people.
Right.
As a Christian, we're not out to conquer somebody. Amen. We're out to conquer ourselves. We're more than a conqueror. Amen. Alexander the Great sat down and wept when he had conquered the then known world because there was nothing else to conquer. He didn't have anything else to achieve. He got to the pinnacle. He got to the top. Amen. Because he couldn't conquer anything else. What he needed to do was conquer himself. Well, praise God. And I'll tell you what the blowing of the Spirit of God in your life wants to do. He wants to help you to conquer yourself. Because isn't that where most of our problems come from, is our desire to bless ourselves? It's self. I want this. I want that. Just think about things that you think about. Well, I need this. Well, I want this. I want. Lust is a part of our world today. It is part of the three things that make up the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But it's all about lust and pride. Amen. Lust and pride centers around me. It doesn't worry about anybody else. Ultimately, it doesn't worry about anybody else. It just worries about itself. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. This is the decision that I'm going to make. And you know, God in His wisdom gave us the opportunity to make a choice. We can choose what we want to do with our life, and He won't stop us.
Right.
He'll be there to help us and to bless us. But if we choose to put up a wall, amen. If we're going to take the threshing floor here and we're going to put up a wall now, we're going to make a nice big tall wall so that when the wind blows, it's blocked and we can hang on to that chaff in our lives. Folks, we cannot build a wall when it comes to the preaching of the word. We cannot build a wall when it comes to the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives, because if we do, we will pay the consequences down the road. And it's not worth it. Amen. It's a whole lot better to live your life with an order than it is to just go by your feelings. Amen. When you live by an order, you have to have more than feelings. It's more than emotion. It is decisions. It's decisions based upon fact or based upon truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." You shall know the truth. Amen. Well, when it comes to finances, is there a right way and a wrong way?
Amen.
I mean, I'm just using practical things here tonight. Don't get quiet on me here. Is there a right way and a wrong way? There's a right way and a wrong way. And he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you financially free." Well, praise the Lord. It'll make you financially free. Who wants to be in financial debt all the time? I don't. I'll tell you one thing I despise more than anything in all of the world, and that's interest.
Amen.
Interest that I owe.
Amen.
I don't mind interest that I get. Praise the Lord. There's a right way and a wrong way. The Bible says that when we are right with Him, that we will lend money and not borrow it.
Amen.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. And so we're gaining the interest instead of paying the interest. The church in Independence paid off their church mortgage. It was a 30-year mortgage. They paid it off 11 years early because they were paying extra on it every month trying to get it behind them. And it was a struggle. They made peanut brittle every month. They worked. They labored. And I thought to myself, how many days did the banker go golfing on them? Amen. How many nice cars did the banker buy with the money that they gave them? Now, that was the only way that they could do it. They didn't have the money to finish the project at that point in time. They paid it off 11 years early, and they saved $220,000 in interest.
Amen.
Would anybody like to have $220,000? Woo! We get excited. Now everybody's perking up. Let's see. Would you like it? No, I don't have my wallet on me, Hunter. Sorry, I'll have to catch you another day. Amen. Oh, yeah, I want to be rich. I want to have this. I want to do that. I want to do this. Well, listen, you got to listen to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit and the Word of God go together. Amen. I'm just preaching what I feel here in my heart here tonight. I hope it helps somebody. Amen. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. But it is the Spirit of God, after you've received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all truth. It doesn't happen in a week or a month or a year, but it will make you free. It will begin to lead you into freedom, financial freedom. Amen. Some people are continually depressed all the time. The Spirit of God will lead you out of that. If you'll open up your mind and your heart and pray in the Holy Ghost and say, God, show me the way. A message will come over the pulpit. You'll read a scripture. It'll open up to you, and you'll find the avenue to get free of that.
Amen.
Amen. If you're hindered in worship or you're hindered in your prayers, there's a reason for that. And you can pray and ask God to help you with that, and He'll show you how to do it. Amen.
Amen.
He will. He'll show you how to do it. The Lord showed me how to build that beam up there. When people say, oh, that's a pretty beam, I say, God did that. Well, how did God do that? Well, I prayed and I said, God, show me how to do that. I didn't know how to do any woodworking, but you know what? He was a carpenter once, so He knows about these things. He made the trees that the wood comes from. Lord, would you show me? And in that night, I had a dream, and I built the whole thing in a dream from start to finish in one night. And I woke up rested, too. I wasn't tired. I built it twice, and it didn't wear me out. Praise God. And so I said, I know what I'm going to do. I woke up the next morning and said, I know what I'm going to do. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And I went over there and just threw that thing up so fast, and everybody's like, wow. How'd you do that? God did that. God did that. That's where grace comes in. Amen. That's where grace comes in. When the Spirit of God begins to blow in your life, tear down that wall. And let the Spirit of God just blow freely in your life. Amen. Let Him show you exactly whatever it is that He wants to show you. And before you know it, all you're going to have is beautiful grain at your feet. Amen. And it's going to be lovely. Amen. And if you'll let the Lord do that, he'll let you see how to build your life. I built that beam, but you know what's more important than that is building your life.
Right.
Praise God. We're building a spiritual house, the Bible says. We're laying stone upon another stone. Amen. I don't want to get halfway through this house and stop. I don't want to, get a wall that's crooked. I saw somebody that built their own house and they laid brick, and the brick is over about like that over here, and it's like that over here. And I didn't say anything, but all the brick in the front, y'all like the brick out in the front of the church out there? I laid all that brick myself. And I never had laid a brick before in my life, but I thought, you know what? It can't be too hard to lay one brick, to put some mortar down and lay a brick down and then do that until you're finished. But I come to find out that it's a whole lot more than just laying one brick on top of another brick. And my friend, Brother Sora, came up and helped me, and he laid about 20,000 brick on his church. And so I thought, if anybody knows anything about laying a brick, it's got to be him. And so he came up for a day, and when the whole day was done, we had one row of brick laid. One row. Because it was lower over here, it was higher over here, and we had to figure out how to get it where when we built it all up, it would all match. And he said, man, it's not much, but there's a day's work. We were both worn out, down on our hands and knees, laying a brick, one brick all the way down. And then the rest of it was easy. Amen. And I put some wood down on one side and another post over here, and I stretched a line. And every brick had to come up to that line. And as I laid those bricks, they were straight, and I could put a level on, and they were straight, and they were even, and they looked good. I think it ended up looking pretty good. But you know what did that? Grace did that. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was at the doctor's today, and he looked at me, he said, man, you're looking pretty good. I thought, well, you better say that for what I'm getting ready to pay you for this visit. I said, really? He said, yeah, man, you're looking really good. And he started looking at my chart and all this, and he said, my, you're doing really good. He said, you're doing better than most people would do with your situation. And I said, you know what it is, doctor? It's grace. I said, it's the grace of God in my life. And he said, well, you're doing something right. I said, it's God. God is the one that's helping me. And you know what? God is the one that's going to help you. You can do a whole lot more with God than you can by yourself. You're not going to, you could get down on your hands and knees. You could get down here in the valley with all that chaff and the wheat together, and you could get down on your hands and knees with a little bitty coffee can and pick out one seed and put it down in the can. Pick out another seed and put it in the can. You'd be there for days picking the seeds off. But God knew there was a better way to do it. Amen. Just take it and throw it up in the air. I'll take care of the rest of it. Amen. I'll blow it over here and you'll have the grain over here. Amen. You understand where I'm coming from this evening? The Spirit of God, he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, you will receive power. And the power of the Holy Ghost is to do more than you could ever do by yourself. So why would we want to try to do it all on our own? We're foolish to do that. And many of us have learned our lessons. We've tried it on our own, and it just fell flat. It didn't work. Oh, maybe there might have been a few times we did some things and it worked. But I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
With the Holy Ghost in your life, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. So we need the Holy Ghost. Somebody said amen. And I'm not going to go through all the places where the Holy Ghost was poured out, but they spoke with tongues. And it's more than speaking with tongues. It's letting the Lord lead your life and guide your life.